today.
My pleasure.
Pietro Perona is a professor of electrical engineering, computation, and neural systems at the California Institute of Technology. It's easy for us to face the fact that our production team is quite talented. Gary Dieterhoff, Barbara Vance, and Rena Shaklesko.
Also support from Rena Shulsky-David and Sammy David and the NASA Astrobiology Institute. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, and a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to our monthly look at critical thinking and skeptic check. This episode, about faith. You can find more Big Picture Science on iTunes and through the link on our website. And while you're online, why not go to Facebook and become a fan of the program? You can leave your comments there as well.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer over-the-air radio, because after all, it leaves your face free of obscuring unsightly wires, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, consider letting them know you like the program.
Skeptic Check is brought to you thanks to a generous grant from the Trimberger Family Foundation. At the Trimberger Family Foundation, we hold that skepticism is a lamp that lights the way to truth. Trimberger.org.
Hi, I'm Mary Fall, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn, Michigan.
Hi, this is Lynn, your host of Impact, and we are here talking to Sandy Bolton today from the Dearborn Animal Shelter. I'd like to remind you that this is a pre-recorded show and that Impact is a show about individuals and organizations making a positive difference in the community. And again, we are welcoming Sandy Bolton. Thank you so much for joining us today to tell us all about the animal shelter. I'll just note that we're talking about the Dearborn Animal Shelter, which is at 2661 Greenfield in Dearborn, and you can find all kinds of marvelous information online at dearbornanimals.org.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you so much for inviting us out here. And it is always a pleasure to be here in the WHFR studio and share information with your listeners. It's a delight, so thank you. It's a fabulous summer we're out here enjoying. In addition to, obviously, people coming physically out to the shelter and emailing us, our website has a lot of information that they can search anytime, 24/7, to have a look at our adoptable animals, and that's at dearbornanimals.org.
I think we all know about the cats and dogs, and everybody knows Crazy Cat Lady, so I live with my cats, and I love massaging dogs, so that's...
Great.
Yeah, they need it. When we talk about some of the activities and things that happen at the shelter, we think about adoption, we think about volunteers, and then there are some projects out there. So I'd like to talk about pretty much everything that goes on at the shelter, if we can do that in an hour. One of the first questions I have with regards to adoption is, we know about the cats and dogs. Are you adopting out anybody else?
Well, the shelter really just cares for companion animals on a regular basis. We do on occasion see an animal come through and we will place them. It can be a bird. Mm-hmm. You get something unusual, exotic. A bobcat could come through. They've even had, I think, a decent-sized alligator at one point, which we immediately turn over to reptile rescue because we have no business managing something like that. But we will see unusual animals. This time of year, you'll see, like young ducklings. You know, there will be wildlife that people might spot normally around Dearborn that animal control picks up and brings to the shelter, or a resident comes and brings because they found an animal in distress or in a circumstance that they thought it might be in need. Mm-hmm. So we don't typically place those kinds of animals necessarily in a home unless, of course, it is an appropriate companion animal. We do primarily deal with cats and dogs.
Okay. I know a few years ago, ferrets were absolutely hot. Everybody had to have a couple of ferrets, and they had an amazing ability to get into the little tiny places, mm-hmm. and what have you. So, and anything like that?
I haven't seen a ferret in a while come through the doors at the shelter. Obviously, I'm not there on a daily basis, but okay. I'm there pretty regularly, and I haven't heard of them having a ferret. But again, somebody like that, a little ferret would come through. Probably someone would raise their hand and say, hey, I love ferrets. I want to take that. So it wouldn't be far to be able to find it at home. But again, it's not something that comes through on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. As a shelter, this is a no-kill shelter?
Well, we refer to it, oddly enough, it's one of those business industry things, right? No-kill is a very specific term in sheltering world, and it literally means you do not euthanize for any reason ever. We don't subscribe to that theory.
Okay.
As the Dearborn Animal Shelters operate as a 501c3 nonprofit, it does indeed behave in a very humane fashion, and that is, we believe, as I do as a human being, that there are times in my beloved pet family member's life that it is time to gracefully euthanize them. And the shelter believes that as well. Mm-hmm. If there's an animal that comes through our doors that it isn't possible for this animal to be adoptable, it has 6 months to live, there's thousands of dollars worth of tumors growing inside of its body, it's in pain, we will euthanize that animal. So I'm giving you an exaggerated example of the concept, but we are what is referred to in industry as a low-kill shelter, meaning we euthanize only for humane reasons, not because of space, not because of issues that, you know, this dog is too rambunctious. We work with them, we socialize them. There have been animals in the care of the shelter upward of 2 years before they've been placed in an adoptive home. So it's not just entirely subjective, oh, this cat's a little bit anxious or she's difficult to place. We work with them as long as we can to get them socialized and get them fitted and found in the right home.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. How do you do that? How do you work on the socialization skills?
Well, it depends on each animal, because just like humans, they all have their own little personalities, some bigger personalities than others. And anybody who is a pet owner knows that. They all of a sudden have a visual of their very busy and active little dog or cat, and they may also have their couch potato. So what we find is there are volunteers that just really naturally, as well as staff, gravitate to being able to work with animals that are more difficult or frightened or really haven't had much human interaction. And just like you might with a human, you start little, you know, go in and talk to them and you don't put your finger in the cage. They might want to bite at it. And then the next day you go in and talk to them a little longer and give them a little treat. And of course, someone in the staff is caring for them, feeding them, cleaning the crate and everything, but literally just going in there with social time, and you extend that and gently put a hand in there and then see if they respond okay, and then might let you touch them. And so it can be a long process. It can be months for some animals. For some, it can just be a matter of days that they just need to calm down after a circumstance that was frightening for them, how they may have been brought into the shelter. Working and rehabilitating them is such a tremendously gratifying circumstance for any of our volunteers or for staff to then see them get placed with a family and succeed. And it really is perhaps the most wonderful part of being involved with the Dearborn Animal Shelter, is seeing how many times that happens in the course of a week.
Right. Now, do the staff members or volunteers do a fostering type thing to socialize in their own homes?
Gosh, that was a lob. Thank you for throwing that right up there, Lynn, because
okay.
The answer is yes.
Okay, good.
One of the most gracious things that somebody can do in volunteering, if they're not really wanting to adopt a new family member and bring them into their home, but they really want to help out, they want to be involved and close to an animal, but they don't want to commit to having yet another animal in their home or having one at all, but they're willing to give some space. Perhaps, you know, they can let their mother-in-law know the spare room's not available anymore. We have some kittens in there, or we have a dog that we're trying to help socialize, and we're letting them have room and board in there. We have a fostering program that, thank God, is very robust. We have some tremendous fosters in the community. We have upward of 85 foster families that care for animals that the shelter is responsible for. So they allow us to extend well beyond our very tiny and outdated building to care for as many animals as we do on a daily basis. So physically in the shelter, you may see up to 200 animals, but we will be caring for up to 300 animals.
Okay.
And that's because of our fantastic and active foster home network. So people can sign up to foster. You basically go through the same process you would as if you were adopting. You fill out an application, and we are so happy that people are willing to do that. And you can choose, I only want cats, I only want dogs, I only want a little dog, I only want a big dog, I only want to foster one animal once and see how it goes. You don't ever have to do it again. And it's a wonderful gift, because frankly, it's the best way for an animal to succeed is if they are able to be in a home environment and learn some manners about being at home, and in particular learn how to interact with a human. And perhaps some of our very most successful adoptions occur when an animal comes out of foster and goes into someone's home, and it's really a terrific program. You can learn about fostering on our site.
Terrific. How many times do the fostering people actually not give back?
We have a very endearing term for that. It's called foster failure.
Oh.
and we mean it with a big smile on our faces, because
right.
that means that they've fallen in love so very much that they're like, you know what, they've become a part of our home, mm-hmm. they're part of our family, and they're staying. And that does happen. Mm-hmm. It happens for sure. There are some people that are, all they do is foster our kittens when the little tiny babies come in and they're too little and sometimes they need to be bottle fed or it's a special needs animal. All they do is take care of, you know, litters of kittens, and they'll take 3-4 litters in a season, and they really have no problem at all. They, you know, help get those animals placed and return them to shelter, and we put them up for adoption when they're ready. There are people like that that frankly never do end up being a foster failure, but there are some people that get attached to, you know, an older cat, or sure. they get attached to a dog that maybe had a circumstance that we really felt it needed to be in a home environment, not at the shelter, for mm-hmm. it to excel. That's a lovely thing. It's a lovely thing, and it certainly does happen.
Fantastic. I think I'd have a hard time turning back.
Yeah, I understand. But it really is something when you see this, and fosters describe it this way, that it's so rewarding, because they know if they don't decide to keep this animal and they can actually help care for 4, 5, or 6 in the course of a year, the impact that they have by allowing that animal to be a part of their family on a temporary basis is a real gift, because they're actually helping the shelter more than if they just took that one animal.
Absolutely.
So when you think about it,
sure.
it's really a bigger gift. And one thing people don't realize is while the animal is in the care of a foster, we assume all financial responsibility for it, for its veterinary care, for its food in the instance of cat, for litters, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So the shelter is financially responsible for that animal while it's in your care.
Okay. You mentioned the special needs animals. Talk to that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, on occasion, as you can well imagine, there are cruelty cases that an animal comes into the shelter, an animal that has had an accident happen, and it could have been stray or somehow ended up loose in the city of Dearborn and ended up in our doors. And it happens probably once a month that we see an animal that might have a special need. Mm-hmm. It could be that it has to have extraordinary surgery, an amputation, or there's something, a growth over something on, you know, in an area that's making it hard for it to walk or to move or to breathe, or eye surgery, or, I mean, it's all kinds of things. And, you know, frostbite will create that there has to be surgery on ears or paws or whatever it may be. And that happens all the time. And the most wonderful thing about that for the shelter is they have a very wonderful program called our Hope's Heroes program. And that's a specific fund that people can donate to that we help care for special needs and extraordinary needs animals, so that it doesn't come out of our operating budget caring okay. for all of the animals in the shelter, because you can run up bills, and you know, if it's a cruelty case, it can be thousands of dollars where an animal's been hit by a car or something like that, but it's young, and it has, and if the surgery is successful, the prognosis is very good, it can survive and get placed in a home. We don't want to euthanize that animal, we want to save it, but mm-hmm. it could cost thousands and compromise maybe 100 animals in the shelter, right?
Sure.
So what's wonderful is this Hope's Heroes fund that we have that people can donate to specifically helps to fund those particular circumstances, caring for those animals. And it does lead us actually to an
yes.
event that's coming up,
right.
oddly enough. And Lynn, thank you, because there's a fundraiser coming up on Saturday, July 26th, that takes place in the generosity of Councilman Abraham and his family. And he and his wife, Mary Ann, and their daughter, Mary Kate, host Abraham's Open House and Barbecue. And that evening, all are welcome. It takes place at his home. It's from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. And tickets are available online. It's a suggested donation of $50, though any donation is welcome. Mm-hmm. And includes sort of outdoor barbecue and beer and non-alcoholic beverages. And there'll be a DJ. And it's a really nice, casual outdoor affair.
Fantastic. And I understand that this is the fourth.
It is. It's
open
the
house?
Fourth annual open house, and it's a very generous thing that the Abrahams are hosting this event, and the shelter is very appreciative of their mm-hmm. help, but they also have taken it very near and dear. They had a tragic house fire several years back, and they lost their dog, Dublin, in the house fire, and Councilman Abraham and Mary Ann Abraham decided that they wanted to do something for animals and help raise awareness about animals and circumstances of tragedy, etc. And they decided that Hope's Heroes Fund was where to go, because animals, of course, can be injured in fire as well. So they help us continue to replenish the Hope's Heroes Fund with this fundraiser, Abraham's Open House, that takes place Saturday, July 26th. And people can purchase tickets online with the shelter at dearbornanimals.org.
A little bit more information out there for that. That's, oh my gosh. Where did the name come from, Hope's Heroes?
There was I think it was a golden or a yellow lab mix that was in the shelter, and her name was Hope. And
okay.
she had, and I don't remember exactly what the surgery was, but it was several thousand dollars that was on tap. And the development director worked with the executive director to create a fund so that we asked people to donate specifically to help us save Hope. And literally we named her Hope because it was a hope and a prayer that we were going to be able to save this little dog. And so she did indeed get the funds needed for us to care for her and get the veterinary care that had to happen to save her life. And so we set up that fund and just called it Hope's Heroes.
Wow.
Because, of course, people who donated to that, in our minds, like any of the donors are, they're truly heroes helping out the animals.
Sure.
And in particular, we have a soft spot for a special needs animal. When you see a three-legged dog or a cat without, you know, one of its eyes, or a tailless animal or something, you all kind of recognize, we all do. When you see a dog with prosthetics or a cat with prosthetics, it's like, wow, it happens to every living being.
Yes.
And it's a very special note and a very special human who's willing to reach out and care for them. So as a shelter, it's something that's very special to us when we can care for those animals too.
Right. Was Hope adopted?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, that's a quick answer. Yes. It is. Sometimes their special needs animals take a little bit longer to place. Frequently,
sure.
They're in a foster home,
mm-hmm.
especially while they're recovering. We don't want them in the shelter. They need quiet time. They need to be with people giving it extra attention. An animal like Hope would be in a foster home before it was placed, and yes is the answer to that.
Oh, that's great. Talk about the play dates. I wanted to find out a little bit about that. I noticed online that there were play dates for dogs,
yeah.
and small, medium, large dogs, so different sizes are contained on different yeah. days, what have you. Tell me a little bit about that program.
Well, it's just kind of fun. Our behaviors, the dog behaviors at the shelter, host what we call doggy play dates, and it's a really neat idea, because whether you adopt it from the shelter or not, anyone's welcome to come to the play dates. And once a month, she hosts a play date, and they're supervised, but they're inside, they're an off-leash romp around playing with other dogs. And we do it, the best way to do it and the safest way to do it is by size, you know, weight of the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a small dog play date, a medium dog play date, and a large dog play date. And there is one each month at the Friends Training Center. It's next door to Pet Supplies Plus on Telegraph Road in Oxford. And it is it's a $10 fee for each dog. And humans are no charge. We let them come through. And humans don't have to stay on the leash either. That's always a good thing. But the whole idea is to encourage the dogs to interact with one another. And our trainer is there, and she helps engage them in different games, and she has little treats and helps them, like, maybe, you know, try a new trick, and you get to help work with them doing that. And it's really fun. And the whole idea is for the humans to maybe step back and, you know, socialize with one another and let the dogs interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way to help keep your dog socialized so that they kind of have that relationship with their own kind,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right, exactly.
And it's a terrific idea. And so people can register. It is limited space for each one because obviously it's an indoor facility, and we ask people to RSVP before they come to the event, and they can do that online, and it's on our calendar of events on the website, and they can see each month when the small, medium, and large dog play dates are scheduled.
And that's DearbornAnimals.org.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
I suppose it's an obvious question, but from Meet the Crazy Cat Lady, has this ever been attempted with cats?
Oh, well, you know, sometimes cats don't enjoy that opportunity. What we do with cats, that's kind of an interesting idea, and it would make it possible in those circumstances, and it could be something to undertake. When we know the cats, it's one thing, and,
mm-hmm.
and we have what we call cat community centers, and those cat community centers are a different way of housing cats, because as you know, being a cat person,
mm-hmm.
when a cat is perhaps in a crate or in a kennel in a shelter, it's not being able to show its real personality. It's probably frightened. They don't like to sit in those kinds of circumstances,
sure.
any more than a dog. But cats are very gregarious and sociable animals, and not everybody realizes that quite so much, and they love to interact with one another. So
they
it's
do.
A really good question. So in our cat community centers, we have a limited number of cats in each of those cat community centers, and up to 15 is all that they can hold, and they roam cage free. in those cat community centers. So it's kind of like their own cat play date. Those, and these are the animals in the care of the shelter. But we have to integrate them. We have to introduce them to one another. Not everybody gets along with everyone else. It's kind of a human thing, too. We don't all get along with everyone else just because we're human. Same thing with cats. They don't all get along just because they're cats. So they have to be introduced into the cat community center before they can actually, you know, be open and be in their cage-free roaming about. So it gives them a pseudo-home environment is really what it does. So in that circumstance, one day, if we were to ever get a new shelter, it's possible we'd be able to host a cat play date, but it would be tough because we wouldn't know individuals' cats to be able to introduce them to each other.
Right.
And people don't typically have their cat on a harness and a leash the way that you would when you're introducing a dog to each other. So
exactly.
That would be the only problem is we wouldn't know the cats that were coming, and in the instance of a dog, it's acceptable and socially the human responsibility of training the dog so that it responds and is well behaved when it's interacting with other animals.
I live with two cats, and they will be absolutely at war, and then 5 minutes later, they're on the bed asleep right next to each other. So
siblings.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a sibling thing.
All right. This is Lynn, and I'm your host of Impact Today, and this is a pre-recorded show. Wanted to remind you of that. And again, our guest today is Sandy Bolton from the Dearborn Animal Shelter. Sandy, thanks so much for coming in. This is there's so much out there to know about the animals, and you're doing such incredible work. And I definitely want to talk about all the projects, and I'm not sure we have enough time to do it in an hour, but we're going to give it one try. You talked about dogs that got out that aren't strays per se, but maybe just got through an open gate or something like that. Near my work is, I'll just call it a weird intersection. There are something like six stop signs right at this intersection. And we looked out the window, and here's this dog. And the dog doesn't know where to go. It's side streets, but it was hard to negotiate.
Right.
And traffic is coming and stopping and starting, and this dog was terrified. Tried to get the dog to come on the lawn, and came and then left. And a woman stopped her car, and she was able to get the dog. And then there was a man across the street who was on his cell phone. He had called the police. I will tell you that it was a very happy ending because he had just crossed the street.
Right.
And the owner came out and carried this, I think, like 60, 70-pound dog. Right. And she had him in her arms and just kind of carried him back. But he wasn't wearing a collar, didn't have an ID, didn't have a harness. So what happens if it's not quite that quick where somebody comes and says, that's my dog? What should we do?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, if you see a stray dog, you want to make sure that you're not risking yourself to get it out of danger, too. I mean, we have to take care of humans as well, and that's kind of important. So don't run in the middle of an intersection yourself. The first thing to do, of course, is to call the police. That's the right first action to take.
Mm-hmm.
And let the police sort this out, because there's also animal control in the city of Dearborn is a division of the police department, and they come out to those calls during regular weekdays. And then in the evenings and weekends, a regular squad car comes out, and they will pick up the animal and bring it to the shelter.
Okay.
Now, most of the time, dogs or cats that, you know, skate out of a house or get out of a crate or through, you know, a gate that was supposed to be locked but wasn't, they tend to be relatively like Houdini, and they may very well have had a collar on when they were in the backyard, but by the time they got to the front yard, collar's off, got snagged, they back out of it, and away they go. And they can also back out of harnesses. So there is no foolproof way to do collar with a tag. The best case scenario is that the people have had their animal microchipped. And microchipping is one of the things that when you adopt an animal from the shelter, they not only are sterilized, but they're also microchipped in age-appropriate vaccinations. And we are very, very much so always trying to help people with low-cost microchip clinics. And the whole point is that a little tiny microscopic chip is put in between its shoulder blades. It's just a very quick injection. It's done in a veterinary facility. And that microchip has a unique ID for your animal. And it has your address, your phone number, etc. And it's not like LoJack, but you have to literally have a wand. And veterinarians everywhere have them. All shelters do. Rescues have them. And when an animal comes in the door at the shelter, of course, they assess quickly if it needs medical care. Then the very next thing they do is they wand it, as we say. And they wand it looking for the microchip. And if there's a microchip, we track it back through the microchip companies and find out if that animal has an owner and reach out to them. Sometimes they go unclaimed, even when that happens. And there could be reasons for that that we don't know. Perhaps they didn't update their information or they no longer really wanted the animal. It could have been dumped. It could be a variety of reasons. It could be that they weren't able to keep it anymore and they were ashamed and didn't know what to do. Surrender your animal is what to do. To a shelter or a rescue is the answer. So what we do is we try to, of course, find if the animal's microchipped to get it back to its owner. If it happened to have its collar on, the police wouldn't have even brought it to us. They would have brought it to the person's house so it doesn't end up in the shelter. Giving them a microchip is the best defense from losing your animal. And that can, because they can run. They can run for cities. They can run between states. Mm-hmm. And you might not find them just going to your local shelters. So microchipping them is the best way for you to get them back. And we always encourage people that. But if you've lost your animal, quickly, we have tips for if you've lost your pet on our website. The first thing to do is to go running out. They listen to you. They hear your voice. Your voice is the next best thing to get them to come back to you. Post signs with photos and your phone number and go to the shelters. And you need to go shelters around you in different directions. You don't know how far they can run, but you need to go all the time because someone will say, well, you know, did you get a little black and white terrier? Uh-huh. There are three. How do we know which one is yours? And an animal might not be, by description, easy one to identify, and they come in and out all the time. So it matters that you physically do go and look in the shelters to find if your dog or cat is there. There's a holding period that's a state mandate. I think it's 4 or 5 days that a sheltering organization has to hold an animal when it's been brought in stray, and they can't find an owner via microchip or a collar that never is present anyway. So it would be held at a shelter for a window of 4 to 5 days if it is brought into that shelter. Any shelter has that same posture. It's a state mandate. And then we go about the business of putting the animal up for adoption. Mm-hmm. So it happens to people all the time that animals get out, and it's summertime and they get out a lot. They'll be frightened by fireworks. They'll be frightened by a thunderstorm. You're out of town and somebody's watching your dog or your cat, and they didn't realize that the screen door stays ajar just a tiny bit and cat goes out the door. So it happens, and it's entirely innocent. So the best thing to do, again, is microchip your animals to help the best potential for you to get them back if they get away.
Mm-hmm. We talked about your location, 2661 Greenfield in Dearborn, and the hours. The hours are, I guess I'd say, more or less business hours.
Yeah, they are.
Normal business hours. Mm-hmm. So, and you're closed on Sundays.
Yes, the public. There's always somebody at the shelter caring for the animals, but they're closed to the public on Sunday.
That's exactly where I was going. Yeah. So if the police do pick up a stray or what have you, anytime they're able to.
They have the keys.
They have the keys.
There's a holding area for the police to bring the animals into when they bring them in stray at 3 a.m.
Sure.
They bring them in.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, that's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah,
that
we're very lucky in Dearborn.
Mm-hmm. And if an animal is hurt, do you do veterinary work on the premises, or do you, you have overnight type vets that you deal with?
Well, the shelter, and depending on the circumstance, animal control will take them right to a vet if the animal is severely injured. If it's just like, you know, it's got a little cut and it doesn't look like it's severe, they might not do that. They'd bring it into the shelter and let it be taken to the vet the next day. Mm-hmm. And the shelter calls upon veterinarians throughout the community that do help care for the animals that we have in our care. Mm-hmm. But no, we do not have a veterinarian on staff. We simply can't afford to do that. The sheltering organization isn't large enough for that. Sure. But there are veterinarians throughout Dearborn Heights and downriver and other communities nearby that lend a hand, and they kind of say to us, we'll take X number of animals to help you out that would need care. So it does indeed, we're very grateful that there are so many generous people in the veterinary community willing to help.
Right. And that has to be huge.
Because it is. It's low cost care for us, but it still is an expense, and mm-hmm. respectfully, they, you try not to just give them all to the one vet. It's not fair. They have a business too. But you definitely take care of the animal first, then we figure it out later.
Right. And all of your animals that go out for adoption have been spayed or neutered.
That's correct.
I just want to reiterate that because, okay.
When you adopt from any sheltering organization in this area, they all have the same basic posture. And it's best practices for sheltering across the country mm-hmm. that you sterilize, which spay or neuter, sterilize your animals before they're adopted and microchip them and have age-appropriate vaccinations. Now, not all rescues do that, but all sheltering organizations do. As there could be tiny ones in little small communities that are not doing that, but best practices for shelters across the country is to do that.
Okay.
And yes, we do.
Okay, fantastic. Of all the things we've talked about so far, we've kind of we touched a little bit on cruelty, and mm-hmm. it's one of those subjects I really, it's very hard for me to deal with it, and I know it's hard for you to deal with it, but can we talk about the cruelty situation. Sometimes it comes from people who don't know any better, you know, that sort of thing. So
it can be what might be perceived as something that was not quite with intent, and that's a good point. I mean, because neglect is also cruelty, and that may not have been intent. It could have been that there were compelling circumstances in the human world. Whatever was happening to them may have meant that animal was left neglected. Well, that's still cruelty, because the animal might have been without food or without, you know, water or without proper shelter. That could have been a circumstance of neglect, and it's still cruelty, the circumstance it's in, but it may not have been with intent. So there's all kinds of varying degrees, right? Sometimes people are just unkind, and they might not be gentle with it. They might be a little harsh or a little firm in a way that is cruel, but it isn't necessarily with mean spirit in particular. But then there's very specific intent and harm and inflicted harm, intended harm. Dogfighting is a very clear one that people know about. And we are never immune to that in any community, including ours, and neighboring communities that we see animals and that come into the shelter, or cases that we hear about that are cruelty. You know, someone breaking, hopefully, at least on the expressway, and dumping an animal out the door, or, you know, leaving it anywhere that it could be in a circumstance of danger or risk. And it happens regularly, and it is something that confounds us about why a human being would do something like that. But you have to understand that no doubt that human being isn't really of right mind. They wouldn't do that. They probably also are abusers of humans, and they're probably cruel to humans. So it's a very clear precursor that when you see someone inflicting harm or abuse with an animal, they are also very likely and going to be a human abuser. And this is a well-known link in social world and psychological world, that there is a connection. If they were abusers of animals to begin with, they became abusers of humans. It's very typical. So stopping them at the point of abusing animals would be a wonderful thing. We could get them to prevent them from then abusing humans. So it does happen. The best case scenario is that when you see one circumstance of cruelty, and then you see many hands coming to their rescue. So there are far more people willing to give and care and help than there are actually inflicting cruelty. It's just what is reported as the act of cruelty. Mm-hmm. It's the acts of kindness that run after it, that grab the animal after it's been tossed out of a car, bring it right to a veterinary facility, or call a shelter. They call the police. And those kinds of things are heartwarming, because there are more of us that are out there than the people committing acts of cruelty.
Right.
And it's evident, because we see them every day at the shelter. Yes, there are circumstances of cruelty. An animal's been abandoned in a home that the humans were evicted from, and they left the animal and they locked it in the basement. It puzzles you, but it happens. Then we have a neighbor that was concerned and alarmed, and they didn't see the animal, but they knew that the family left without it, and they call, and then animal control gets, you know, a warrant, and they go in there with the police, and they get the animal out, and it gets cared for, it gets in the shelter's hands. They end up surviving and get cared for, and they get placed and get adopted. So that's a whole sequence of other many more hands that came to its rescue. Mm-hmm. And those are the best case scenario. And of course, cruelty where they don't survive, but that hopefully is something that we can curtail by making people aware of cruelty.
Right.
If you see it and you suspect it, call the police immediately. Don't question it, because if you see someone being abusive with an animal, know that they may also now be being abusive with a human. And if we can catch them at the point of the animal, maybe, just maybe, you're stopping human cruelty.
Yes.
And sometimes just ringing that bell, calling the police, will help make that come to an end. And so if you see something that is in question, that an animal's outside far too long without water or proper shelter, call the police. You can do it anonymously. Mm-hmm. They'll send animal control out there, and they investigate, and they do, and they frankly like to make that come to an end as well, because they are aware of the fact that we have to be good stewards of our companion animals. We are their voice. It's our job to speak up.
Absolutely. Have you found any fighting dogs that you've been able to rehab and get into a family situation?
Is the answer. I can't name them specifically, but yes is the answer. We have had that happen. We've also had the inversion of that. Dogs that were brought in that were what they call bait dogs, that they were the ones that they threw in the middle of the pen to train the other dogs to attack them. Mm-hmm. So yes and yes, there have been bait dogs that have been found in our community and fighting dogs, but we don't know where they came from or how they got here.
Okay.
That does happen. It happens. Everywhere. We're not immune.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for going into the dark side.
Yeah. Always with a bright light around it, though.
Absolutely.
The humans that come and give it
absolutely.
Care.
Absolutely. Wanted to just reiterate some of the really wonderful things that are coming up. What are we calling that? Abraham's Open House.
Yes.
For Hope's Heroes Fund. And again, that's coming up. This program is to air on the 22nd, so that's coming up on the 26th.
Yeah.
What a great story that they could turn their sadness into something so happy and help so many.
I think so, too. It really is a wonderful gift, and we're grateful to them for opening their home and hosting this event each year.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a lovely thing to do in honor of Dublin, and it's a very kind thing for them to do.
Right. And then we have our medium dog play date.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're, again, each time... somebody's interested in the play dates, they want to hop online and sign up for them. So
right.
those are great great opportunities for people to introduce their dogs to one another.
And we use that V word a couple times during this discussion, talking about our volunteers that make everything happen. Obviously we can go online, we can take a look, but
sure.
What kind of categories of volunteers are you looking for? I assume you always need more people to help.
Always hands on deck. And it's a great question, because some people are hesitant to volunteer because this is the most common thing I hear. Oh, I couldn't possibly volunteer. I would say, well, why would you say that? Well, because I would want to take all of them home. And I'm like, well, a shelter actually wouldn't let you. So don't worry about that. That's not going to happen, because then you'd be a hoarder. But anyway, what's important to realize is you can volunteer with the shelter whether you ever physically set foot in that building or touch an animal or not. You can be as involved with animals as you want to be, including animal handling, caring for them, walking the dogs, socializing cats, cleaning out crates, helping us in offsite events with animals, or you can never set foot in the building. You can be an amazing volunteer and support that shelter. You can bring donors to events. You can help us by eye fostering. This is a cool thing we do, that if you decide that you don't even want to leave your keyboard or your iPad or your tablet or your phablet, if you're one of those hip new people with a big phone, you can virtually foster our animals, meaning you can sign up to be an eye foster, we call it, and you can say, I'm willing to, in social media, mm-hmm. post about this animal, send emails about this animal, let people know it's available for adoption. So you just use all of your social media platforms to tell people about our adoptable animals.
Okay.
We give you the link, the photo, the information about the animal, and all you do is post about it. And you never set foot in the shelter. You don't even have to touch the animal or see it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can come and meet it and take pictures of you with it, your selfie with the dog, your selfie with the cat, whatever you want to do. But you don't have to. And we have photos and descriptions of all of our adoptable animals on our website. And you can say, hey, look, I'm willing to eye foster. So you can sit in the confines of your home at 3 in the morning on your keyboard and help the shelter. Or you can physically walk in the door at 3 in the afternoon and help the shelter. And everything in between. So there are people that we need at events to be greeters, or people at coat check, or people who want to be hands-on, down and dirty, and walk a dog out, every week.
Mm-hmm.
So, everything.
Wow, okay. And I love that.
Don't
electronic
ever...
social media hits the animal shelter.
Oh, God. It's exponentially increases the potential
sure.
for the animal to get adopted by using
sure.
social media.
Sure. Do you ever adopt? Well, with that, you're talking universal at
sure.
that point. Do you adopt out to other communities, other areas, other states?
Yes, 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 and yes.
Okay.
We wouldn't do it internationally, because there could be lots of, issues attached to that. But we have adopted animals out to people out of state,
mm-hmm.
and frequently we adopt to people outside of the city of Dearborn, because not everybody in Dearborn is necessarily ready to take on a new pet family member. So we adopt people all over the Metro Detroit market all the time.
Okay. As a shelter, when was the Dearborn Animal Shelter born? I forgot the date.
Well, it's the Friends organization started in 1993,
mm-hmm.
and it's a nonprofit organization that was the very first, actually, privatized relationship with the city of Dearborn for a function that was traditionally a city function. So it went from a pound into an actual sheltering organization, and that was 20 years ago.
Okay.
21 years ago now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the shelter facility itself, I think, is 30-some-odd years old.
Okay.
And that it's been used as a shelter, but it's really a repurposed garage, so it's not an appropriately appointed shelter. So
okay.
we're in the process of fundraising a capital campaign to hopefully build a new properly appointed shelter. And that includes being able to isolate animals and being able to have proper air ventilation and water and being able to ISO the cats away from the dogs. So there needs to be soundproofing and that sort of thing. And it's just a very old building. It's not appointed for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully we will one day get to that point where we have a new sheltering facility. And you can learn about our capital campaign on the website.
Any projected timetable?
I don't know of a projected timetable, but the city is very much a partner in that. And they're working with us on the property and building location, but there's several $1 million still to come to the table, but it's a doable project, and it could be done in a year or two, but it requires, of course, donations to make that happen. But it will be tremendously helpful because it'll give a far better meet and greet opportunity for the humans to come to the shelter. I mean, right now, the sheltering facility is very crowded, and there's not a lot of human space available. In fact, we had to get like little administrative trailers to get, you know, non-essential humans out of the facility because there isn't room for them.
Okay.
So we'd like to be able to hold our training facility on site instead of off site and those kinds of things. So it'll give us far better human space, get the opportunity to meet and get to know an animal in order to have a successful adoption. And those are the kinds of things that we would be able to improve and step up with a new shelter.
We've talked about donations for various, like the Abraham Open House, and just go online and you can donate. You could be a sustaining donor with a certain amount every month, that sort of thing. Are you looking for any in-kind donations?
Always. There are items that the shelter uses constantly. Like you can imagine, if you're a dog or a cat owner, you kind of know that you go through, you know, cleaning supplies and, you know, towels and sheets and newspapers. We constantly are in need of newspapers. So there are things, if we have a wish list that I think is still online, better in under the donate and in-kind. And one of the things that's really helpful is office supplies or just simply, frankly, gift cards from places like Target or from, you know, Office Depot or Office Max, because we never know exactly what we're going to need. But if we need suddenly 15 buckets, it's great if we have, you know, a gift card from Target, just go get the buckets. And those kinds of things occur all the time.
Okay.
And yes, in-kind donations are graciously accepted.
Okay, wonderful. And again, Sandy, thank you so much for coming on. This has been a great, fun show for me. I love animals and always have. And this is my first Impact coming back after a year and a half. So thank you so much for helping me break that shell or whatever.
Yay, I'm so glad to be a part. Thank you.
One of the things we were talking about a little while ago off air was the holidays and how people are still thinking that an animal is a great gift for a holiday time, and sometimes it is.
It's so true, Lynn, because you know, when we think about the gift of an animal, and then there's one that's really well thought out and appropriate time for your family to invite a new pet family member into your home. And so the kind of inappropriate ones is spontaneous. I think that, you know, so-and-so needs a dog or a cat. My sister-in-law living in another city, and we want to bring her a cat, and she didn't want one. It really isn't the right way to gift an animal. People who want to have an animal and are really ready to have an animal, choose that animal. Because one of the things that I think is really important to think about is you need to have a connection with that animal. And maybe this isn't really the right time and space for you, or you would have gotten one. So gifting one without someone's full knowledge, permission, and request, and sure, be a part of that, I want you with me when I choose that animal, is a great thing. But not surprise unannounced gifting it to them. And I don't think that's a good way to have a lifelong relationship with an animal, because they rely on us. They're our companions today. They are domesticated today. And it's a commitment. It's a lifelong commitment. And unless you're the one willing to foot the bill for the vet and food and care, then you really have no business doing that. In the instance of those things that are situational and moment things, like, you know, we talked about Easter and somebody giving, you know, a little chick or something as a gift, it's really a bad plan. You don't give a live animal like a chick to someone, to a child, because they grow up and they become a big chicken and nobody really wanted one, and you're not supposed to have them in most suburban communities anyway. Just, you know, give them a stuffed toy. But in the instance of a family deciding that, you know, gee, this Easter or this holiday time, you know, it could be Thanksgiving or coming up on the holidays at year end, we're really ready to have a new pet family member, and I'm, you know, wanting one in my home, and I live alone, and I don't want to go through the holidays alone, and it can be a fabulous companion to bring an animal into your home. It's a great time to adopt. And we find that we have a peak in adoptions at holiday time at year end. And it is because people are kind of ready to expand their family. And it could be that it is finally time.
We've talked too about some of the special needs animals out there, and we didn't really mention specifically elder pets.
Sure.
Elder pets make great pets.
They do, because they know their manners already. I mean, it's kind of neat, because when you've got a recycled animal, when it's come in and it's a senior, or it's a more mature animal, they make a terrific companion, because they already know how to be with a human, and they already know how to be in a home. They've just been displaced for a reason that there, it could be countless. It could be that their owner passed away. It could be that they had to be surrendered. They couldn't care for them anymore fiscally. There could be lots of reasons. Mm-hmm. But, boy, senior animals or mature animals can make terrific pets. And depending on where they are in their life expectancy, you know, cats can live all the way up into their early 20s. And, you know, certain dogs can live 15, 16, 17, 18 years. So just because an animal is 9 or 10 is no reason to overlook it as an animal to be adopted. And they're very grateful to be given that second chance at love. And we find that kind of a placement is a terrific new relationship for someone. And we actually have some adopters that frankly won't ever take a young animal. They only want a senior animal that's sort of grown up and it's already sown its oats and it already knows what to do. And we are always asking people to please consider an older animal because, mm-hmm. you know, everybody loves a cute little kitten or, you know, a playful puppy. But giving an animal that's a immature or a grown animal an opportunity is a wonderful gift.
And they're so adorable, but I don't know how many people really understand, especially with little kids, yeah. that a very small kitten, small puppy, they're a little bit crazy at that age, too. And as you said, they haven't quite learned their manners yet.
No.
So you have a whole lot of training to do, a whole lot of time commitment.
Yeah, and it's human training as well as the animal training, because you really super have to be consistent with an animal the same way you do with a small child. And if, you know, the adults in the home and the children in the home are not on the same page with how they interact with that animal and boundaries, and, well, little animals need boundaries just like little children do, and they will test you and they'll push those boundaries. So it's really important to remember that when we offer, as at the shelter, we offer training, it's really about trying to make sure that the humans behave appropriately so that the animals know how to respond and be in their home.
Exactly.
Because we show them how to be a good pet family member by our actions. And we do reward-based training. You reward them and praise them for good behavior. And those kinds of things are very important. So yes, indeed, having a young kitten or a young puppy takes a lot of work because you have to really be patient and consistent. And that's a very special message. Yeah, thank you for asking
mm-hmm.
about that.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, too, about the chicks that grow up to be chickens. I read something not too long ago that most of them don't, unfortunately,
yeah.
that because of handling and because of people not knowing what to do with a little chick, unfortunately, yeah. most of them meet a quick end.
Yeah, they're not a domesticated animal.
Absolutely.
So they, you know, and we live in a suburb here in Dearborn. It's not the appropriate place to raise chickens. There are farms for that. And really, that's where they belong. So it's not something that we would have. They're not a domesticated animal. You don't want them as a companion in your
mm-hmm.
home.
Mm-hmm. Halloween is coming soon.
Well, hopefully another month or two away, right? Oh, wait a minute. You must be in the retail business. It must be tomorrow, because back to school is already blown through
right,
in the
we're
retail
done with
industry,
that, yeah.
right? But yes, you know, Halloween is one of those times where we remind people to make sure if they have their own pet. You know, pets don't really dig Halloween. They don't always respond real well to people, you know, yelling at the front door and the doorbell ringing. And so it's best to kind of keep them quiet and in their own, in a room where they're away from all of that action. Be very careful of things. Make sure that, you know, if, you know, the kids have playing and eating the candy, don't leave it out because it can make animals very, very sick.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, sometimes people like to put a costume on a dog or a cat. Be very careful if you do that. Make sure that they have the complete ability to breathe, have complete mobility, that they can see.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I didn't really think about the candy aspect, but you're right,
yeah.
because chocolate is bad for both dogs and cats.
Yeah.
And some humans probably
yeah.
shouldn't have it too. So be very careful with anything like that. Small objects that are not great
right.
for kids. Of course, a cat, a dog could swallow something.
Yeah, exactly the same way. Think of them as a toddler in your house.
Exactly.
And behave accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of your holidays, some of
yeah.
your events that are coming up.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we've talked about the Abraham Open House, which
mm-hmm.
is a terrific event coming up on July 26th. But there are other activities going on. One, there are off-site adoption events that we cycle through the whole year doing off-site adoption events because we take some of the animals out of the shelter and take them to higher profile, higher traffic locations to try to give them an opportunity for adoption. And if you check our website on our calendar of events, people can see where those off-sites are, but they take place at local pet stores in the area and at our Friends Training Center out on Telegraph Road at Oxford. And those take place almost every Saturday.
Okay.
So those are very, very helpful opportunities for us to get these animals showcased in a place that might be a more trafficked location than the shelter itself. It's kind of tucked away behind the, you know, City Department of Public Works on Greenfield and south of Rotunda. And so we try to do off-site events, including, you know, through the season. We're at the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market. We always have an adoptable. We're selling Fido Bake Retreats there. So we always try to elevate the visibility of the animals and give them an opportunity to be seen. And then we have other events going on that help fund the daily operations for the shelter, because one of the things that most people might not realize is that the shelter is run by a 501c3 nonprofit, and more than 90% of the funds that we have that we are able to operate the shelter from are donations.
Okay.
And in all forms, from events, from people just writing a check, from, you know, hopping online, to you know, a large donor. So every dollar does help. And only less than 10% of our dollars are actually from the City of Dearborn tax dollars to contractually take the animals in that are stray from the City of Dearborn. So we have a lot of fundraising activities throughout the year that really matter, because it's how we're able to house, care for, and provide medical care and sustain the number of animals that we care for on a monthly basis. So some of those other, there's lots of third-party events like the Abraham Open House, and there's another one coming up that's called Bowl for Animal Rescue, and it's on Saturday, August 9th. And two terrific people, fantastic, actually, professional bowlers themselves, Michelle Mullen and Alita Sills. And Michelle was actually the first female bowler ever to bowl and win more than $1 million as a purse. So she's a pretty significant bowler. And,
I guess.
You know, Detroit, I think, is a bowling capital. So, yeah, hoorah! Thank you, Detroit. but it's a terrific event. And whether you are an amateur that whips the ball into the gutter, or you can hit that sweet spot in the strike and love to just bowl for fun, everyone is welcome. It doesn't matter what the skill level is. And they've done something really neat with it this the past 2 years, actually. And if you choose to bowl and you want to partake in the evening, you can just come and do that and pay a fee. But they're asking people, hey, please go out and raise pledges. And they have a you can link to it from our site and click on the Bowl for Animal Rescue on our event calendar, and it'll take you to their site where you can set up your own little pledge page and ask your friends to please pledge you for bowling and help raise funds for the shelter. So it's a really fun evening. It takes place out at Country Lanes in Farmington, and they're super nice ladies. And you can even, in fact, make a donation, and they'll throw a strike for you. So that's kind of cool. But it's a lot of fun. It's a terrific event, and that takes place on Saturday, August 9th. And again, all skill levels welcome. It's just for fun. And I think it's even nine pin no tap. So it's not like you're not really keeping real serious score here. We're just trying to have fun. And then as we talked about our adoptions, one of our largest adoption events this year will take place on Saturday, August 16th. And it's a tented off-site adopt-a-thon. And it takes place from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, August 16th in the parking lot of Westbourne Mall out of Michigan Avenue and Outer Drive.
Okay.
And it's a terrific day. This would be the third year that we'll have done the adopt-a-thon there. It's a terrific location, as you can well imagine. Michigan and Outer Drive is a lot more trafficked than our little, shelter site off of Greenfield Road there. And it's kind of neat because we have the opportunity to showcase a whole lot of animals in one place that's out of the shelter. And we sort of think of it as, a pop-up tent mini shelter that day. Mm-hmm. And we'll have upward of 70, 75 animals available for adoption. And it's terrific because it's a good opportunity for people to come out and see animals and in a circumstance that we have a meet and greet pen area so that, you can go out and visit with the dog a little bit. And if you want to adopt a dog and you have a dog, we ask that you, after you've come and decided this is something you want to do, we ask you to bring your dog to come meet them. The new pet family member that you're looking to adopt, to make sure they get along, because that's, again, one of those things that, people say, well, do they get along well with a dog? I don't know. They get along with some dogs. They might not get along with your dog, or your dog might not get along with them. And so you want the whole family to be a good fit. And so we don't ask people to come with all of their dogs, but if you are there and you choose a dog that you want to adopt, we'd ask you to then please go get your dog if you have one and have a meet and greet there. And we do that at the shelter as well, because we want to make sure that it's a successful adoption, because it causes the animal a great deal of stress if it gets bounced out of that home environment after it got placed and ends up back at the shelter. So every time they get displaced, it's a stressful thing and it costs more money.
It's very confusing.
Very confusing. So we try to offer them as much stability as we can. And so this adopt-a-thon, there will be cats and dogs available. There will be kittens. Hopefully, there will be some puppies. There are right now at the shelter, but we never know because we get new animals in every day and sure. adopt animals out every day.
Sure.
But there's a good likelihood that we'll have puppies for that event. We do have kittens for sure. It's kind of an ongoing stream of kittens, but there will definitely be cats and dogs of all shapes and sizes okay. ready to go. And it really is a fun day. We'll have some of our Fido Bake retreats there, and we'll have adoption counselors on site that will help people find the right pet family member. And it's just a really nice opportunity because it's kind of fun and festive being underneath a big tent. And, you know, it's a Saturday afternoon. It's sort of kind of a playful, festive feel. And so we invite anybody who's considering a pet family member, if they don't already have plans to come out to the shelter, Saturday, August 16th at our Adopt-a-thon's a good time to come and see.
Okay. You mentioned the puppies and the kittens. Will we have sure. some elder pets? Okay. And will we have some special needs pets too?
Probably. If we have one in the shelter, for sure. Because we do make sure that they have the opportunity to be featured just like any other pet does. Mm-hmm. We will definitely bring animals of all ages and shapes and sizes. There will not just be only the young ones coming. That's not the case at all. Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun to see people just light up when they see this animal that's the right one. When you see it happening kind of all around with people throughout the tent looking at all these different animals that are there, it's really kind of a celebration for us because you really can feel that, wow, gosh, I never thought I would have wanted this kind of a cat, or I never thought I would have wanted a black cat. And my God, this thing is so loving, and it's really neat to see. And people really enjoy the opportunities at these adopt-a-thons. It's great.
That's fantastic. And what's the time on that? You said that was August 16th?
Yeah, it's Saturday, August 16th, and it takes place from 10 in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And we did one of these earlier this summer. It was in June in the parking lot at Home Depot in Allen Park, and we adopted 62 animals that day into homes, which is a bell-ringing event for us. Because on a given day, we might adopt, 2-3 animals into a home, and we might intake 6-7, so we never know. That's always a moving target. So to have 62 animals in a day get placed into an adoptive home is a huge victory for those homeless animals, for our shelter, and for the families who took them home and
Definitely.
Brought a new pet family member. So they're a big deal. It's a big celebration.
Yes, it is, for sure. Tell me a little bit about the Fido treats. You mentioned that a couple times.
Yeah, I did. We kind of have this cool core of volunteers that like to bake. Again, if you want to volunteer and you like to bake, you can get connected with our folks who run the Fido Bakery. The bakers are busily at work, in their own home kitchens, following the recipes for our particular treats, and we sell those at a lot of our offsite events. You can find them, of course, at our adopt-a-thons, and when there's a third-party event where the opportunity presents itself, and that would be, of course, at the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market. We'd have them there. So those, and sometimes we have shelter merchandise at certain events as well. It's kind of fun. So it's just an extra way to help out the animals, and that's kind of fun to be able to, bring them a little treat for your Fido.
Sure. Yeah. What type of merchandise do you have available from the shelter? Well, I know it's online.
Yeah, it is. But there's a lot of things that it changes all the time. But there's always, like little, who rescued who magnets and things like that, and, fun jewelry with paw prints and that sort of thing. And, there can be some logoed shirts. And it always, it's a volunteer who manages the merchandise for the shelter. And whatever kind of spins her wheels and she thinks people are going to be interested in. There's been, squeezy cups and, lunch bags and all kinds of things. It changes all the time.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's fun. And there's another event in August that actually some folks are familiar with, and that's our Hogs for Dogs. It's literally people that, that were Harley enthusiasts that wanted to host this event. It's literally Hogs, the nickname for Harley, Hogs for Dogs. It was a really cool event, and it's outside underneath a big tent. That event this year is now being hosted at Oakwood Bar and Grill on Oakwood Boulevard.
Okay.
And so they're opening up not only the inside of their bar for fundraising for that event on Thursday, August 21st, and it takes place from 4 to 9 p.m. You can, you can leash up your pup and bring them, or you can ride your Harley over, or you can ride your bicycle down the street if you want and go there, or you can come by car or chariot. And it's not brain surgery here.
Right.
It's just a fun fundraiser and a different angle on it. One of our single largest fundraising events takes place in October every year. That's our Black Tie and Tails. That event is on Friday, October 24th, and it's at the lovely Dearborn Inn. It's a great location, and it's a Black Tie tie soiree, you know, a terrific, you know, red carpet that we parade our adoptable animals down.
Aww.
So it's the humans get the privilege in their tuxedo and fine gowns to escort our adoptable animals on the promenade, as we think of it. And it's a terrific opportunity to come to a very nice, you know, see and be seen event.
Mm-hmm.
But 90% of the funds operating that shelter come from donations. So Black Tie is a very important fundraiser for us. We are just fortunate that people continue to come out and support it every year, along with all of the other different events that go on for the shelter. So it's sort of an anchor we have to have,
mm-hmm.
that one, because it's in the bank that one is required for us to continue to,
right,
to operate
right.
the way we do.
The animals that are being paraded down the red carpet,
mm-hmm.
are they available that
oh, yeah.
evening?
They are. Oddly enough, they do get adopted that night, some here and there. There's usually an adoption that occurs. And I'm amazed at how many people in their lovely black tuxedos will pick up a cat or a dog
oh.
and cuddle it and get covered in fur and don't care.
Right.
We'll even have little rollers for you in case you need to get it off your gown. But yes, indeed, they do get adopted. That's kind of very special, because you know that those people are vested in wanting to help the shelter. It's a little bit of a pricey affair. Of course it is. It's a, you know, an elegant black tie
mm-hmm.
gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And then they walk out with a new pet family member, too. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that's neat. You also wanted to bring another one home, right? It is on Friday, October 24th.
Okay.
And, again, that's already up on our site, dearbornanimals.org. Mm. When in doubt, if you don't see something on our site, always just call the shelter and,
mm-hmm.
you know, be persistent, hit zero, get through to a person, make sure you ask questions or leave a voicemail message. But definitely, if you're looking for any information about events that we're doing, about adopting, about volunteering, don't be bashful, because we love to hear from people and do our very best to try to get you the answers that you need.
Right. And we did talk a few times about the address and, of course, the online
yeah.
Way to get there, but hadn't really quite... talked about that phone number, and
yeah.
It is 313-943-2697.
Well, you can email us as well, friends@dearbornanimals.org.
Well, if you can do the pet information out there with your iPhone and
exactly.
Yeah, there are a number of things you don't actually have to be present to do. You have that,
yeah.
And you can communicate all over the world with that information,
sure.
And you can actually, for the bowling.
Sure, you can work an event.
Yeah.
You don't ever have to go to the shelter.
You can
yeah.
do all that stuff online, and that's spectacular. You can get
yeah.
your pledges.
Sure.
You don't have to go door-to-door to hustle pledges.
No.
It's so good to hear good things, and the purpose of Impact in general is we talk about individuals and groups making a positive difference yeah. in the community. Sandy, you're definitely there at the top of the list making a positive difference. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anne.
And thank you for being part of Impact.
We're excited, and welcome back. We're so glad to
Thanks.
Be on air with you.
Yeah, we'll do this again soon.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You've been listening to Impact, and I'd like to remind you that this is a pre-recorded show. Impact is about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College.
WHFR Dearborn!
WHFR, the station making waves, proudly presents The Best of Broadway, a program featuring the best of American musical theater. Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Joe, your host. We've taken care of your tickets. Now let me escort you through 2 hours of enjoyment of The Best of Broadway.